afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. It is August 22nd, 2021, 3 days before I become 60 years old.
Wow.
I know. Now I'm old. I don't know. I felt old all year, but I'm feeling older every minute.
Man, am I glad I married a younger woman.
Yeah, because Bill was old a while ago.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Welcome to SeniorCitizens.com.
Yeah.
So my name is Aaron Ryan.
My name is Bill Cundiff.
What do you have for us, Bill?
Well,
in Senior Citizen Town?
Yeah. Well, we have a senior sponsor.
Yes.
Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located up at Shasta Lake City in 3119 Twin View Boulevard. Anything you need, John Deere, go up and see them. They've got pretty good inventory right now of tractors, implements, anything you want, part sales service, Honda generators. They've still got a few left. I understand the generators are getting hard to find in this area, so go up and see them while supplies last. They're also a steel power products dealer. You can go up and get your weed eater, and chainsaws, trimmers, all that. They've got it in stock and ready to go. Or give them a call. And their phone number is
530-226-9226.
Hey!
You thought you were going to get me.
Yeah, I did.
I thought he was going to catch me on that.
I thought I was going to get you on that one.
226-9226.
Yeah. Or get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da! And, you know, I've had this conversation several times this past week, but our archives stretch back 11 years, at least. I've been saying 11 for a while. I really should double check. But I think it's 11. And you can find that at wethepeopleradio.us. And we actually have so you don't have to scroll through 11 years of stuff. It's only once a week, so it's not that bad. But topics like veterans, South Africa, China, Islam, environmental issues, national security, marijuana, and then we have a bad eggs tab. And those are just they're mostly not public employees. They're typically bad players out in the wider picture.
Yeah, you don't want to be on that tab.
No, you don't want to be on that tab because we'll write all the expose stuff we get about you, and if you're trying to, you know, screw people out of their water rights, that kind of thing.
Pull a fast one.
Kind of players on the bigger stage. So if you have any of those and you'd like to expose them to the public, oh, by the way, I'd be happy to publish that information for you and do a show about them, whether or not we divulge your name. And speaking of which, you know, here's a little public service announcement. How's that? Since the entire northern part of our state happens to be burning up.
Yes, it does.
And if you live in another place where maybe you have hurricanes and floods and tornadoes and you have that kind of stuff, and you're thinking, well, those guys have fires. It's just the same thing. No, it is not the same thing. It is not the same thing. This is very, very preventable. This has been preventable, and it's taken 100 years to get to this bad point. So it isn't like a weather system that rolls in or something. Yeah, they're started by lightning in most cases. But it would not burn a million acres from a lightning fire.
I heard an interesting
stat. In the olden days. And it is not climate change, so stop saying that.
No, I heard an interesting stat the other day that a normal forest has about 50 trees per acre, which sounds like a lot, but that'd be like a normal forest. Our forests today, due to lack of management, have around 500 trees per acre, and that's why there's no water. That's why it goes off like an A-bomb now.
I think that's why it burns more?
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
Could it be more logs on the fire?
Yep, more
logs
honestly, on the fire.
If you've ever built a campfire, you look at our forest now, and they've got the tinder, the kindling, and the fuel. Remember that from Cub Scouts, Girl Scouts, Campfire Girls, mm-hmm. whatever you were doing? If you'd like more information on that, actually, we just re-aired a program. So August 15th of 2021, we put a show on there from the end of last year. It was called Western Forest Fires, Climate Change or Bad Forest Policy. I'll just, you know, spoiler alert you. It's bad forest policy.
Yeah.
That's the answer.
Do it like Joe Biden. It's bad forest policy. I told him.
Doesn't it make you want to do that all the time now, though?
Yeah.
Because
it
just makes me laugh.
It's so much more effective.
I did that to someone the other day, and I know they were thinking, oh, my God, does she have dementia, too? It's like, I'm sorry. I was just screwing around. I don't know what made me do that.
I was channeling someone.
And that was with our guest, Ray Haup, who is a retired. He's actually a registered professional forester. He's not retired there, but he's retired from the Forest Service with 30 years, very much a fire expert, and is currently a county supervisor in the county that has, I don't know, a whole fistful of fires. So if you want to know more about that, or you feel like, well, I still think it's probably climate change, go listen. Just go listen. You don't take our word for it, because we're not registered professional foresters. Didn't work for the Forest Service. I could pick a tree out of a lineup. You know, pretty good at that.
Yeah.
I know Bill could do that.
Yeah, sure.
But
I know a tree when I see one.
But then it's over. Our expertise is over. So anyway, just do us a favor, because honestly, out here in the West, unless we get the legislature. The legislators from around the country to step in with us on making some really significant changes on forest policy. If you live somewhere else and you thought you were going to go to the Western United States and go through the national parks and you were going to go through all the big forests out here, good luck to you.
Well, it wasn't that long ago. Yosemite caught on fire, and that was a massive, massive fire as well.
And then it's over, and people go, oh, well, it happens. You know, that's just what happens out there. No, it isn't just what happens out here. It didn't used to be this way, and it is not climate change.
Well, they used to be able to put them out. Now we're at that point where you cannot put them out. They're just too hot and too big.
Well, and then the Forest Service developed a policy where they would just monitor them. Although this year that has supposedly been changed, and the job is to put them out. So, yes, there has been Congressman LaMalfa and Congressman Tom McClintock both spoke with the chief of the forest, who is very familiar to them because he was the head of Region 5. It's just how we got into a lot of this mess. And they pressed him to put out an edict, basically, that they would suppress the fire and put them out. So anyway, if you happen to be talking to people who work in that industry or are part of the bureaucracy and they're really frustrated, please have them call their local congressional office and speak to somebody there. I'll put on a different hat. I happen to do that in my free time. 24 hours a day. You can call me. Please call me. I don't care where you live in the country. I don't care if I have your real name. I don't care about any of that. I want your information, and I need it firsthand, because members of Congress cannot tackle this without people on the inside giving them the view from the inside. It's no different than when you discipline your children. If you don't know what they did, you're just kind of a dummy if you go ask them. You know, did you do that? If you don't actually have the answer, you're just whistling in the dark. Oh, yeah, in the dark. Do that again. That was good. Bill's turning the lights off. We're going to broadcast in the dark, which is actually kind of nice. I feel like I need to confess something because the lights are shining in my eyes. So please feel free. Have them call. It's Aaron Ryan. Number is 530-515-7135. If you forget that, go to wethepeopleradio.us. The number's right on the front page. And I would be happy to relay those your information, and I'd be happy to keep that confidential. Members of Congress and their staff, when they speak with members of the public or an agency, are not required by law to respond to FOIA. So we do not have to give that to your agency if they want to find out if you ratted them out. We don't have to tattle on you. The only way we're going to tattle on you is if we broke the law, and I could just tell you now I'm not doing that. So anyway, there's no reason that these things can't be changed from the inside out. That's my pitch.
There you go.
And our friend Dr. Lyle Rapacki, I think, might be trapped in on hold with us in Arizona, and he is actually he's actually on the same time we are. We had to have this discussion yesterday because California goes on.
We're on the same time for a little while.
Yeah, when California goes on stupid daylight savings time, then we're on the same time. So every time we do a show, it's like, what time is it at your house? Okay, what time is it at my house? And just in case you have been living under a rock, Dr. Lyle Rapacki has been our guest stretching back to 2016. I've got all the shows connected with him. We used to only talk to him about national security, and then we started chatting with him about the Arizona election issue, the country had election fraud, but the Arizona audit situation.
This country had election fraud?
It's a big lie. I heard it was a big lie, but I'm pretty sure that the big lie was the big lie. So he's a private sector intelligence, behavioral analysis, and threat assessment specialist. Since June of 2010, he's provided selected members of the Arizona legislature. I think that's only the smart ones. I believe those are the ones that are selected. He's been providing them intelligence briefings on border security and threats to Arizona sovereignty. He also receives, analyzes, and disseminates critical intelligence from and to law enforcement, intelligence, and governmental communities. So he's got all sorts of fun background, and you know, he's and Lyle's just a downright good guy. So we're kind of doing View from the Mountaintop today. We're doing a little Arizona voter fraud update and some other stuff.
Yeah,
it's like bills in Congress and for other purposes. That's always a line in the bill, and for other purposes. So today we will be discussing and other purposes.
Lyle, what are you doing?
Well, hi, gentlemen. Bill and Aaron. First of all, can you hear me okay? Because I'm on a speaker device.
You have to get closer to it because they're going to hear us, but not you, and be all mad and call me on Monday.
Okay. Well, first of all, let me shout out a happy birthday to Aaron, who's 80. You don't look 80.
I know. I don't feel. I don't feel 80.
You don't. You look really good. I wouldn't have set a day past 70.
I want to put a fine point on this, though. Bill is the one who fell in the garage yesterday. I did not.
Oh, you had to bring that up.
I would have picked the scab, but it didn't leave a mark.
You know, you're getting old when you're falling down.
In your own garage.
Out of your own chair, even.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
The garage.
We get back from the grocery, and he goes out in the garage and comes back in, and he's got a scrape on his arm, and he's like, oh, my God, I just fell down on the garage. It's like, what the hell?
Man. It's hazardous world.
Well, William, that's probably where Pape Machinery needs to get you a little motor scooter or something.
I know it.
Yeah, go up to Pape and see Bill. He's the guy in the Rascal.
Nice.
Well, they don't allow me to practice on their machines anymore. I don't know why. I think the fence was repaired very well. And as you just got done saying, there's just too many trees. And so the few I took down, I thought helped. But they don't allow me to use the tractors anymore, but they've given me other little machinery, like a scooter and other little things.
Well, I can't really use an electric vehicle anymore. Last one I got on was at the golf course, and it ended up in a water trap. So I'm not really good at driving those. So
well, the reason you can't use an electric vehicle here is because PG&E has cycling power outages. So if you have an electric vehicle here, good luck with that.
Yeah,
because
you're not going to be able to charge it.
Because there's no way to charge it because they shut the power off. So, gas is king here. Hey, Lyle, while we're yucking it up and before we get rolling here on actual serious topics, I just thought I'd let people know we're actually doing that. You want to take a really quick break and then we can go uninterrupted?
Okay.
Would you like doing that? Or would you rather?
I would love that.
Or would you rather interrupt you?
Because that way you get paid for the commercial, which means I can get my $1.85.
There you are.
Told you it was 2.25 today.
Oh,
my God. So this buffoonery was brought to you by WeThePeopleRadio.us. I cheated Bill out of his big...
Oh, man, I was all ready for it.
He's rubbing the new bruise he has on his elbow. And we'll be back with our guest, Dr. Lyle Rapacki, where we're actually going to talk about serious topics. But I'll tell you what, the world is basically humorless these days. And, you know, that's not a good spot for any of us. So anyway, we'll be right back.
What shall we do about them when they move into your neighborhood? They take over but good. They want you all body and soul, then it's just your body, then they go. What shall we do about them?
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to
There we go.
There we are. Okay, now I think we're ready.
We're back to the serious part of the show.
Yeah, let's right get now. Serious now.
The serious part of the show.
That's right.
You're not doing it the right way.
No.
Lyle, where do we even begin?
It's your show.
Tell me. That's not what you told me you were going to do.
Okay, all right.
Honestly, people are... I think people have gotten to the point where now they think the Arizona audit is a lie because they're not getting any results. So maybe we can dispel
actually,
that.
They did get some results here a few weeks ago when the Arizona... Was it the legislature that said there was no fraud? Somebody in government there.
I think that was the Board of Supervisors.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I'm not acquainted with... I don't doubt your veracity. I don't mean it that way. But I'm not acquainted with
Bill's
people
a liar.
Saying...
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not acquainted with people saying that there was no audit or I don't know.
No, but you know what I'm saying. Like,
I do. I'm not arguing with
it's
you.
It's just the time.
So
it's the time period,
and
there's
so much crap out
yep.
there. What people don't realize, and I've seen it myself as I've spoken on this in front of audiences, but also volumes of mail that have come in. To the show that I've gotten to do now, which is Arizona Today. And I started that show really to inform the people of Arizona what had taken place on November 30th when there was the joint legislative hearing. I was asked to coordinate every aspect of that, and that was my fifth joint legislative hearing in 10 years that I've coordinated. And it's like I've kidded people and legislators. It's like herding kittens. When you coordinate legislators, both senators and members of the House,
sure.
and put them all in the same room and move them in the same direction, I mean, it takes a lot. And from that time forward, when Mayor Giuliani testified and others, I thought, well, maybe I should just inform the people of Arizona what's kind of taking place. And so I did a show, I called it Arizona Today for Prescott E-News, and it took off nationally. And today, 9 months later, I'm very humbled to say that, you know, I do about two shows a week, sometimes depending on breaking news, three, and I've got 1.4 million people, and it's growing. And so I'm very humbled by that. And so I've heard that, what you're saying. I've had emails and snail mails questioning, you know, will we hear anything? Is it legit? Is it true? Will things really come out of it? So what I can tell you is that this nation has never done anything like this. That's not an excuse, but there was no rule book. It took time to organize. It took time to sort through some of the legalities. And it took time because the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors did everything they could, and then some, to stop it. To undermine it, to discredit it, to not comply. They refused to comply with orders from the Senate. They went to court, and that would drag things out. They would lose, but it would drag things out. So initially, that was a big part of the issue. Secondly, it's really complex. You've got to do an evaluation of the machinery, the ballots, the voter registrations. The Board of Supervisors, once again, did not comply. They did all they could to delay, if not stop, giving certain things. In fact, to this day, they never gave the routers. They still haven't given the routers that were used. They've used all sorts of reasons and excuses, which were lies, and that's been proven. So it's just been one thing after another. You've had the liberal, well, not even liberal, you've had the socialist bring in 25 attorneys to Arizona to fight and develop legal arguments. I can just go on down the list. There's just more and more problems that created even delays or a stop in the audit for a day or two. But where we're at today is the final or formal report of findings should be turned into the Senate, to the President of the Senate, Tuesday afternoon, this coming Tuesday, or maybe Wednesday morning. Preliminarily, the preliminary report of findings demonstrated forensically, I'm being redundant on purpose because it was not hypothetical, it wasn't theory, based on the preliminary findings of the audit, the forensics, a number of things have come forward that shows potential crimes, collusion, massive fraud, and possibly even some national security issues. It was because of these things that finally came to the surface and were made public that three other states, Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, are sitting in the on-deck circle politely, and I mean that. They've been very polite. All the states have. They've not made fun of Arizona. There's been a lot of mistakes made, but they've not one state legislature in another state has made fun. They understand fully that there was no roadmap. There was no manual. And so they've come to Arizona. 18 states have sent legislatures or members of delegations to Arizona to study what was taking place, how to do it, what not to do. And now three states are in the on-deck circle, ready for Arizona to announce its findings. The final findings will be submitted, like I said, this coming Tuesday afternoon, maybe Wednesday morning. They will be reviewed by the Senate leadership and then the Senate as a whole, and then they'll be released to the public maybe as early as this coming Friday, but most likely the following Monday.
Nice. And when you say released to the public, Lyle, is this like the whole report where people will have to go through it, or is there kind of a, is there like a cover page with the highlight? Is there a highlight reel?
A summary?
I think you're right. I think it would be both.
Okay.
I think the President of the Senate, Senator Karen Fann, will release the findings, most likely, but I don't know. Don't send me emails if I'm off by a little bit on this. But most likely, protocol-wise, the President of the Senate, Karen Fann, and the Chairman of the Senate Committee on the Judiciary, Senator Peterson, probably will most likely together come and present a report to the public, and that will give you all the highlights, and then they'll also release the report so you can then read it on its own. I have no idea how many pages that will be. Doug Logan, who was retained by the Arizona Senate, he's the owner of the Ninjas out of Florida. He has been writing this final report.
And that's cyber ninjas, not actual,
cyber ninjas
wearing like black Halloween costumes. And they did all the forensic stuff on the Dominion machines, or did they also do the ballots, or was that different people?
There were
a zillion people on this thing.
Well, this is a big project. There were multiple layers of professionals involved, but the Cyber Ninjas, Doug Logan, was in charge of all of it, all the aspects. He oversaw it. He oversaw the forensics of both the machines and the ballots, which would mean the voting machines and the tabulators. That's two separate types of machinery. Like I said, the routers, the supervisors would not surrender, and then the ballots. And so each ballot came through a station, and they were reviewed by a team at each station, and there were about 40 stations, and there was a team, and they were microscopically, I'm saying microscopically, that's not really the technical term, but they were microscopically reviewed, for a number of issues. One, to see if they were fake, if they were false paper writings, proper signatures, or erasures, things of that nature.
They were like pre-printed, because there was some discussion of that, that like they were all computer-generated and then just shoved into the mix?
Correct. And that has been verified that took place. And it's also been verified in other states, Georgia and Pennsylvania in particular. I don't know about Wisconsin.
That they had Georgia. That they had computer printed ballots with, like, the Biden bubble filled. Did you know? I got somebody asked me this the other day, and I don't remember really hearing one way or the other. The ballots that were fake, did they only vote for the president, or did they just randomly fill in other stuff too?
Both.
Oh, okay. I just wondered how good they planned to fake it.
That's why you've heard how trucks were bringing in ballots.
Right.
And that's why you would hear that, because ballots were printed, pre-printed, and staged in several of the states that were targeted for this. And there were 15 states targeted, all the Dominion machineries, the same system. What we now know, which we didn't months ago, is that Dominion put on training for those states. We know who attended the training. We know which counties, for instance, Maricopa County in Arizona, who went to the training. We know the manuals. We have copies of the manuals. We have copies of how they trained. We have copies of how they were able to alter or manipulate the machines.
So the training was actually on how to manipulate the results?
Correct.
Wow.
Okay.
So it's not like it was none of this was spur of the moment. And I think you had told us that early on, that this was something that they worked on for a long time.
They began to work on this 5 years ago.
Oh, wow.
The we now know that. That's not hyperbole. That's not conjecture. Again, all of this is evidentiary, which we didn't have months ago.
No kidding. They started working on it 5 years ago?
Mm-hmm. 5 years ago.
Can you tell us who was kind of behind it? Do we? I mean, I'm sure it wasn't like, look, unless it's just George Soros, which is always the easy one. But is this just a DNC thing? Is it local? Is it all of that? Foreign countries? You have a cast of characters.
Yes, I'm not going to discuss that right now.
Well, stay tuned.
Say again?
Yeah, so stay tuned, huh? That comes out in the report?
I believe it will, but I'm not writing the report. I have no access to the report.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's true.
Right, so I don't know. I've been privileged to serve as a consultant for 9 months on this since November 9th of last year, when I began the process of coordinating the joint legislative hearing. And so I began to meet, you know, again, Mayor Giuliani, Colonel Phil Waldron, Jenna Ellis, all these big names, along with several others, and I began the series of briefings as to what was coming forward, what were the problems, how do we take what was coming forward and the problems and put them in the proper arena for November 30th. There were, you know, people that I recommended, we don't need to have them testify. It was a 10-hour day, as it was. It would have gone on 12, 14 hours, and I'm not making that up. In fact, by late in the afternoon on that day, I don't remember, I think it was about 4 o'clock that afternoon, the chairman of the joint legislative hearing, signaled me over, and he goes, "What do you think?" He goes, "What do we have?" I said, "Well, here's how many we still have to testify. Here's this and this. What's going on?" And I said, I really think what we need to do is make a decision to cut this thing off and how to do that. What will we lose? What can we do to gather this information later, but not on this day? Because it was going on for 10 hours. That's a long day.
Yeah, no kidding.
And we did well. There was 5-6 national media, all conservative, that carried it live nationally. People watched it live. OAN, One American News, Breitbart, Bannon. Oh my gosh, I have to go back and look at my list, but there was a number of 6 different media outlets that carried it gavel to gavel. But again, it was 10 hours of actual testimony, so it's a very long day, not counting an hour and a half off for lunch, briefing in the morning before. I mean, so the day started at 6 a.m. for a number of us, and it didn't end until 1 a.m., then 1:30 the next day, and then we went to the legislature, the Arizona legislature, and there was a closed-door briefing. Mayor Giuliani presented, along with Colonel Waldron and Constitutional Attorney Jenna Ellis, presented a closed-door briefing to the leadership of the Senate and the House of Arizona. And that was supposed to be an hour, and it turned out to be 3 hours, because he had to catch a plane that was parked, ready to go, to Wisconsin.
And oh, wow.
we had to rearrange all of that, because the briefing went for 3 hours. Now, the supervisors came in, not to the briefing. They were in a room next door, and I went and met with them to find out what it was they wanted, and they wanted to talk to Mayor Giuliani and see how they could help. And so I briefed them preliminarily as to what we had uncovered, what we had, what did they want, what would they like to ask the mayor. I then went back to the mayor and said, here's who's next door, here's what they'd like to do, and he said, let's do it. And so he then, after, it was nearly 3 hours, it may have been 2 hours and 45 minutes briefing, he goes, they're right next door. I said, yes, and let's go next door. So we went 10, 20 steps down the hall and went right into the next room, and he spent 45 minutes briefing and meeting with the supervisors. And at that point in time, we left and made a bad dash to the Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport so they could catch their private plane, which was waiting, and move to Wisconsin, where they had to appear before the legislature and do something similar. So it was a very long day. So there were some things that we had to alter to shut the day down. Otherwise, we would have gone probably 2 more hours. It would have been a 12-hour day. It was just getting to the point where it was just too long. Now, I say all that because there was information that did not come out during that hearing, but subsequently has come out, and that's in part to what you're asking. We now know that China coordinated this, along with 4 other nations. And it wasn't Russia, and all that crap. It was China. They put in well over $1 billion to this process.
Oh, so China wanted Biden to get elected. Who could have seen that coming?
Wow. Yeah.
Huh. That's well, a big mystery.
Like
ridiculous.
Colonel Waldron and I said, Phil Waldron, who's a national security and cybersecurity specialist, been an advisor to President Trump, and he was a colonel in the military, very well known, very well thought of, highly credentialed, and just a all-around good guy. He was on my show many times because we've been slowly briefing America on this, and one day he said on the show, he goes, well, you know, Dr. Lyle, as I've said to you before, privately, we were under attack, much similar to Pearl Harbor. We just didn't have the burning buildings and
yeah.
ships and all that. And it was so profound that I've since used that analogy, and I've kidded him back on my show. I go, you know, Phil, I want you to know that I was out speaking last week, or this may have been a couple of months ago. I was out speaking last week, and I talked about the attack the United States experienced by the country of China. This was open warfare.
Yeah.
They attacked us. only not like Pearl Harbor. And I put my arms up and I said, the burning buildings and the ships. And I said, and it went over very well. I said, people really liked my analogy. And he was smiling. I said, of course I did not give credit to you that you were the one that came up with that.
Of course I cheesed you out of it. Is that why we can't get Phil Waldron on the show? It's because now he doesn't like you anymore?
I don't think it's not like we're still working out something.
The bromance is in the offing. All right, we've got to take a really quick break.
But
we're going to be back with our guest, Dr. Lyle. We're back again. And so... Now that the audit is done, I thought, oh my gosh, I have the perfect song. So you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. And here's the perfect song.
Here we go.
Let the dogs out! Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
Well, the party was nice, the party was pumping. And everybody having a ball. Until the fellas start the name calling.
E-B-I-O.
And the girls respond to the call. I have a poor one shout out.
Who let the dogs out?
There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Yeah, well, what's going down is Lyle and his friends let the dogs out.
That was a great song. That was so timely.
That doesn't really go with your Pearl Harbor thing, but might get your crowd going a little bit.
Phil Waldron and I are negotiating and talking about being friends again. he's a great guy, and we've had just lots of fun, and he's a very sincere.
He's a smart guy. I mean, all joking aside, he's a smart guy.
He's a sharp cookie.
Uh-huh.
But he did. He used that on my show to discuss. We were under direct, and we have been, and we continue to be still, under direct attack by China. China has declared war on the United States. I'm not being funny. They have. And he used that analogy. And I think it was a couple of weeks later, I was speaking to an audience, and I used it, and it resonated with the audience. I then used it again about a week or so later to a large audience of about 1,800 people, and it just so resonated that, and then a couple of days later, he was back on the show, and and I used that analogy, and he said, yeah, you're right, and I said, well, I just want you to know that, I used this analogy that you gave me, and it went over very well, and I took credit for it. And he's so humble. He really is. And he just smiled.
He's not a real laugh out loud guy. He doesn't seem
No, he's not. He really is humble. And he doesn't care who gets the credit. He cares about correcting the problems and the assault on this nation.
So, Lyle,
let me go over, if it's okay with you guys, let me go over a couple of things that we know for sure.
Yeah, that'd be great.
They're having a hard time covering up right now. There were 11 hard drives, and this comes from the forensic analysis preliminary report that's already been given to the Senate. So this is not speculative. This is not hypothetical. This is already fact-based. This is evidentiary. So I just want to say that. There were 11 hard drives with clone images on them, and so there was no forensic security system in the election process. I'm looking at my notes that I can share with you. The county, Maricopa County, accepted and acknowledged that a breach did occur to their electoral process in January 2021. Mm. But then they have since tried to cover that up. But they did go on record and acknowledge that. They also said that there was antivirus systems on the county systems, on the Dominion machines, and that nobody could access it. So they went ahead and contradicted themselves there. But then at further questioning and then presented evidence, it was demonstrated that the antivirus systems had been breached, and they also had not been updated since August of 2019. So there were no patches or updates, and the entire system was tremendously vulnerable. So they, again, not only lied, but through forensic evaluations, it was proven that the system had not been properly maintained, and it had been breached. There were, and this was fascinating, again, evidentiary, 37,646 requests for passwords on that system by only four users. Oh. And that was all over on one day, and that day was February 5th. So who was trying to access that system on February 5th?
Yeah, no kidding.
Only four people, and I don't have privy to that, but the evidentiary, not a hypothetical, not theory, the evidentiary forensic findings showed that on February 5th, 37,646 requests for passwords on that system by only four users. So who were those users? And that's an incredible number of requests. The other thing that came out against Great Odds and the county, again, once again, has egg on its face, is that it was proven beyond doubt, not theory, hypothetically, that no one in Maricopa County had full access to the voting machines. Only Dominion did. Now, that's a violation of the Constitution of the state of Arizona, so that's a felony right there.
Hmm.
And therefore, that is a potential reason to decertify the election in Arizona.
Is that something they can prosecute? Do they know who that was?
That's two different questions. That is something that could be prosecutable. That information has been submitted to the Attorney General as of 2 weeks ago.
Nice.
168,000 on-demand ballots were requested on election day.
Wow.
168,000. That's provable. That is not theory or conjecture. It is also provable, again through forensics, that the ballots were not on secure paper. Therefore, they did not meet the criteria for election ballots. They came from another source.
And how many of those were there? Was that the 168,000?
Yes.
Huh.
11,326 people did not show up on the voter rolls on November 7th. But on December 4th, they were added. So 11,326 people were not on the voter rolls on November 7th, but they were added on December 4th.
And they supposedly cast ballots, or could they tie that together, or no?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Great.
3,981 individuals voted, but they were not registered to vote after October 15th, meaning the courts ordered that if you are not on the registration, properly registered by October 15th, you could not vote. 3,981 individuals voted, but they were not on the voter rolls by October 15th. So therefore, they're in violation of court order. 18,000 people voted, but were then removed from the voting rolls after elections. So to 18,000 people voted, but then their names were removed after the election.
And their reason, what would be a legitimate reason for doing that? They were ineligible to vote, or they were phony voters, or?
It could be all of that.
Okay.
But what they were, it could be all of that, period. I mean, it could be, that was legit, it could be all of that, but what?
That's a lot.
The bigger, it is a lot. Especially since Biden only won by 10,000 votes.
That was my next question. What was the margin?
Wow. It's bigger than that. It's much bigger than that. But what we clearly have is a pattern of fraud, and we have a pattern of collusion. Collusion in the sense that there had to be help to allow this to take place. And so already uncovered are those facts that I've just given you. That's not conjecture or hypothetical. That's already provable. There will be more coming out, is my guess, once this final report of findings is submitted to the Senate. Predicated on just what little I've given you, the states of Georgia and Pennsylvania went forward and through court orders were able to determine that the same process and findings occurred in their states, and they've already come out with that information. So they're now waiting for the findings of Arizona. They're still working, don't get me wrong. There's still forensic teams on the ground there, but they're waiting properly and out of protocol and respect for the findings of Arizona to come forward as to how they will proceed. Same with Wisconsin. Now, I just learned just a couple of days ago that the Secretary of State in the state of Michigan has now come forward and said he believes that there now needs to be a forensic evaluation in that state. And that's news, because that was only a couple of few days ago, and Michigan has got some very serious problems.
Yeah.
And so for him to come forward, I think it was Wednesday of last week, Wednesday, that was huge. Now, I can also tell you, in just the last week, several counties in the state of Washington have now come forward, and a couple of counties in the state of Oregon have now come forward, and three counties in the state of California have come forward. So what appears to be happening is these delegations have gone back to their respective states. They've taken the information from Arizona, and what has been done, how the system has been utilized here, the constitutional system and the investigatory process, and they've gone back to their states and they've begun the process, and they're already uncovering very serious questions that need further evaluation. You're not hearing a lot about it for, I think, a couple of reasons. One, you've got the conventional propaganda platforms that just won't report on that stuff.
Sure.
But secondly, I think it's because they really are looking at their own little areas, counties or states, and they're going through the process much like Arizona did 9 months ago. Now, they're able to speed up because they've learned from Arizona the mistakes that Arizona's made, the things that Arizona has learned to really put forward, they've benefited. And so they're now in the process of more quickly able to put together something than Arizona did. There's no pun intended in that. They're benefiting from what we've learned and what we've done. But they're already uncovering very serious and very similar problems. And based on the findings for Arizona, I think what you're going to see are anywhere from 3 to 5 more states that are going to come out with very serious findings. And what that will do is we'll have a constitutional crisis on our hands.
Yeah, because what did you say, your attorney general there in Arizona is planning on going after some of these people?
Well, I don't know what he's going to do. I would say if he doesn't, he's done.
And yeah.
He wants to run for the Senate, but he's done.
Because I think so. He's, you know, people want to see some people get rolled up on this stuff. I mean, we have these things happen all the time, and I'm sorry, Nobody goes to jail. We'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Lyle Rebecki. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.